Amen. Thank you, Pat. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans 8 and verse 35. When I was a young kid in the primer level Sunday school department at my church, I grew up in Arkansas in what you would call the traditional Southern Baptist church, okay? We had the primer level. Most of you know what the primer level was. And then you went up and you got able to stand up enough in church in front of people where you would sing in the choir and different things. And I remember, Randy, one of the first songs that we ever sang in church for all of the parents. And here's what it was. It was a B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, and then the killer part that everybody waited on at the end of the song, everybody reared their fist back and they went, Bible, as loud as you could say it. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Now, I want to ask you something. If you're still real young and primer level, the B-I-B-L-E probably is the book for you. Amen. Let me ask you a question. As you've gotten older, as you've gone through the trials and tribulations of life, is the B-I-B-L-E still the book for you? Now, I'm going to tell you, the B-I-B-L-E hadn't changed. The same words that were in that book when you were in primer level are in that book today. Some of you may be picky about what translation you read. I'm very picky about it. I don't slam it down people's throats because I don't believe that it's wrong to read other versions, but I grew up reading one and I don't see any reason to change it after all the years I've been reading it. Amen? Whatever you read, your B-I-B-L-E, is that the book for you? Now here's something that I'm afraid is true. I'm afraid that you ask all, if not almost every Christian, if they love the Bible, they'll say yes, and you should. But when you love something, you spend time with it, you spend time in it, and you learn all about it, right? Think about when you started dating your wife or husband-to-be, okay? I don't know why you started dating them. I try to tell people, I try to tell our teenagers at church, I try to help them. I wish I could say to you that I started dating my wife because of the godly person she was. The real matter of fact was I was not godly, and I started dating her because she was good looking, okay? Whatever reason, when you start dating them, you date them, you decide you're going to go out with them, all right? You go out, first couple times, you're nervous as a wreck. I remember the first time we went out and ate, I said, man, I can't be cheap. So I took her to this nice restaurant, which really isn't nice compared to everyone else. But it was a nice restaurant, sit-down restaurant, Randy. I didn't eat hardly anything. I had to eat at McDonald's in the drive-thru on the way home because I was afraid I'd spill food all over. She learned real quick I do that every time I eat, including today. I got something all over me. I was afraid I'd spill food all over me. I was afraid I'd get sick to my stomach. I was afraid I'd get gas the whole nine yards. Now my wife tells you, you don't care. We'll eat anything. Now here's the deal. You date a little while. You get a little more comfortable. And then it comes up another notch, doesn't it? Then you're going to start trying to learn everything about them. You're going to try to learn what their hobbies are. And you're going to try to learn about the things that they like. And then they're going to do the same thing. They're going to start seeing what you do with your time and what your hobbies are. And you know what? You even go further than that. If you have friends that know that person, you start asking those friends, hey, tell me about. By the way, I'm not criticizing that at all. That's exactly what you ought to be doing. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You got to read it. You got to learn about it. You got to hear things taught about it. And you got to make it a part of your life. Now, people say to me all the time, Brother Jeff, I love the Bible. I know the Bible is the Word of God. And I say amen and amen to that. But I say, Brother Jeff, I got to tell you. Some things in the Bible are hard to understand. And guess what Brother Jeff will always tell you? That is 100% true. Okay? If you think that because I've got pastor by my name that I can just pick up the Bible and all of a sudden understand everything in it, I don't. I've told you many times as your pastor, you can meet me at the back door, you can ask me a question about something, there's probably a good chance that I'm going to say to you, well, let me go home and look at it. I'm not going to shoot from the hip. I've got to go home and study, and I've got to see. I don't know everything. By the way, that's the beauty of the Bible. It keeps you studying and loving God's Word. Amen? Do you love it? Say amen. You got to read it and you got to learn about it. So I've got a simple sermon today, but a life-changing sermon for you today. Five reasons that Christians must read the Bible. Must read. Not should read, not need to read, must read. What happens when you have a serious medical condition and you go to the doctor and he gives you a medicine and says, listen, there's a good chance you'll get better if you take these pills, but if you don't, you're going to die. Is that a must or a need? It's a must. You better get up in the morning. You better take those pills. You better take those shots. You better do whatever it's because it's a must. If you don't, there's a good chance that your life is going to end. Your spiritual life is going to end if you don't submerge yourself in the Word of God. Don't be afraid of the Word of God. That's not one of my points, but I want to stress that today. Don't be scared of the Word of God. It's not just written for scholars or theologians. It is. It works for them as well. But it's written for everybody. If you're in this building today, it's 110% written for you. Now, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love that verse, by the way. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Buddy, if somebody loves you that much, you ought to spend some time reading about what they have to say. Amen? You remember back when you were in high school? Come on, guys, think back. You had a girlfriend in high school, and I met Kim after I was out of high school, so this is a high school thing. I had a girlfriend in high school, and here's the deal. You'd, in between class, you'd go to your lockers, and your girlfriend would put a note in your locker. Do y'all still do that, Chloe? I don't know if y'all do that anymore. It might be past your time, but anyway. Here's what guys would do, right on? They'd go to their locker, and they'd want to be really cool, you know, and act like we weren't looking forward to seeing or even cared that note was in a locker. But as soon as nobody was looking, you know what we'd do? We'd go into that next period class and we'd open our textbook, and underneath that textbook, we'd unfold that note. We'd read that note, wouldn't we? You know why we'd read it? Because at that time in our life, that person was very, very important to us. And we cared at that time in our life, we cared very deeply about what that person said and what that person thought. Do you care about what Jesus said and what Jesus thinks about you? You ought to be that excited to delve into God's Word. I'll tell you something else, the beauty of God's Word that a letter from somebody else doesn't have. You can read the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know an exact figure to say how many times I've read the Bible through, so I'm hesitant to say it. But I've read it through quite a few times in entirety. Every time I read it back through, I learn new things. I read passages of Scripture that I've read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And you know what God does? He illuminates something you didn't see the other 100 times you read it. That's the beauty of God's Word. Now let me tell you about Christians and God's Word. This survey was done by Lifeway. Okay, now we're not talking about Fox News. We're not talking about some liberal. We're talking about Lifeway, where we get the substance of our literature as Baptist. And this is our poll. Listen to this. Here's what they said. More than half of Americans have read little or none of the Bible. Hadn't even touched it. Or if they have, there are Psalms 23, John 3, 16. You catch my drift? Not minimizing that. I'm just saying that's that 50%. Okay? About 30% look up things in the Bible only when they need to. They use the Bible as Webster's Dictionary. When they're stuck or afraid, when they got to give a speech somewhere, or they got to speak at a funeral or a wedding, maybe they go and they look at the Word of God. Less than a quarter have any kind of systematic plan for reading the Bible on a daily basis. By the way, if you don't have a plan, you won't do it. Got to have a plan, all right? And here's the last thing. 17% simply flip it open to read a passage at random. Now, I'm not saying God won't bless that, but that's not my recommendation for how to study the Word of God. What if I came up here this morning, said, you know, it was good football on last night. I think I'm not going to study for church Sunday morning. I'm just going to watch football all day. And you know what I'm going to do, Fred? I'm going to ask God when I get up in the morning at 6 o'clock. Now, God, I'm going to throw my Bible open and give me a sermon. First off, he's not going to do that because I haven't honored him. You're not going to get a whole lot from that. Might you get lucky and land on one? You might, but that is not the way to study God's Word. So five reasons. Let's get rolling. Are you ready? First reason that Christians must read the Bible is this. It's so you'll be able to see who God is and how much He loves us. To see who God is and how much He loves us. How big is God? The Gaithers wrote. How big and wide His vast domain to try to tell? These lips can barely start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, but listen to this, yet small enough to live within my heart. You want to know something about somebody like that? You got to read His Word. It is in the Bible where we learn that God is our loving Creator, and He's also our constant wooer. He's always trying to woo us. It tells us in His Word that His love is deep, and that His love is vast, and that His love is unchanging. Oh, those of you like me who live in a time when everything changes and it drives you crazy. My sister from New York called my mother Friday, and she said, Mom, my nephew plays football in New York and all. His mother packs his lunch. And he is a creature of habit. He doesn't like anything changed. And he came home from lunch and he told his mom, he said, Mom, I don't mean to be ugly, but why did you put a different kind of yogurt in my lunch? And Michelle told my mom, she was telling my mom my story, she said, oh my goodness, you got a Jeff on your hands. You change anything he doesn't like. And those of us don't like change, it's hard right now. By the way, don't change yogurt. If it's good and I ate it, why change it? I don't understand people like that. We're in a time of change. I really and truly think if it were possible, all of us that went to seminary 25 years ago probably should go again. The church is totally different. Everything's totally different than how we were trained. We're flying by the seat of our pants. It's all, and that's not minimizing what we learned. It's just we're playing on a different field now. We're driving different cars. Our family lives are different. Our friendships are different. Our jobs are different. Our way of life are different. And I know I'm somebody who don't like anything to be different. If I had it my way, my wife would look just like she looks right now every day for the rest of our life. She's looking good over there, Randy. I wouldn't change anything. Yeah, thank you, Randy. Very good. I don't change. I like to park in the same places. I like to eat at the certain booths, and I like to have the same waitresses wait on me. I feel comfortable with them. One time we had a dear member of our church, and they meant well. But they told my secretary, they said, listen, while Jeff's on vacation, I'm going to go in there and redecorate his office. And my secretary said, you're not going to do that. And she said, why not? She said, no, don't do that. He won't like that. He likes things a certain way and he won't like it. That was a nice idea, but I told my secretary, this year you will get a 5-cent raise because you did exactly what I wanted done. Don't let anybody come there and go change that stuff around. I won't feel right. Everything I talk about is changing. And by the way, another sermon in itself, you better learn to accept some change because times are getting rough on you, aren't they? Let me tell you something. If you want to grab onto something in your life that won't ever change, you know what it is? It's the Word of God. Amen? And the person that wrote it. I am the Lord God. I change not, and I thank you so much for that. I so need that in my life. See who God is. What do you think God is? I drove the other day in another part of town, and I saw in the window of a store a picture. It was this person's picture of Jesus. And listen, here's what we do. We stereotype. We don't really know what Jesus looks like. We have his picture in our mind of Jesus with a beard and the brown hair and all this. It's just, I'm going to tell you in advance, that's just stereotype. Okay? But that's what we think, don't we, Mike? We see that? Oh, that's Jesus. Yeah. And this picture didn't look like the Jesus I was used to seeing. It caught my attention. So I told my dad, I said, Dad, you don't believe what I saw in the window. He said, what's that? I said, I saw a picture and I described to him the picture of Jesus I saw in the window. He said, well, now, son, he said, I'm not saying that that's definitely what Jesus looked like. He said, but in reality, what I just told you, he said, we don't really, really know what Jesus looked like. He said, but let me help you with that whole idea, this thing of what Jesus looked like. I said, please do. He said, don't focus on what Jesus looked like. Focus on what Jesus is. It don't really matter what it looks like. He says, all I know is when we get to heaven and we look on him, every one of us is going to know that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Whatever that looks like, we're going to know. But focus on who he is, not what he looks like. How do you know who Jesus is? Do you see him as a stern taskmaster? Do you see him as a loving, kind person? Do you see him as a giver? Do you see him as a healer? All those things he can be seen as. But when you're looking at that, study the scripture to see who God is. And most important thing is this, remember how much he loves you. How much he loves you. If you love somebody, tell them you love them. Amen. I told my daughter the other day, there are two people in my life. Two people in my life that always tell me they love me. And my wife looked at me like, how in the world do you remember that? I talk to incredible amounts of people every day. Those people always, every time, love you. Love you. And I'm going to tell you something. It means something to me. And they know what the response will always be when they say to, I love you too. Love's important. How much does God love you? Let me tell you, your wife may love you to death. Your children may love you, and I pray and I hope that they do. But no one loves you like Jesus. Amen? And if you don't know that, you need to get in his word and see how much he loves you. All right? So number one, why should Christians read the Bible? To see who God is and how much he loves them. I tell you what, and I don't want to digress and spend too much more time on this. Everybody needs to be loved. Amen? Everybody needs some love. Second reason, to understand why the death of Jesus is such a big deal. Boy, if you're a Christian here today, you need to study about Jesus' death on the cross. There were other people that died on the cross, Mike. Matter of fact, study it, you'll find something interesting. Tom, there wasn't just Jesus on that cross. There was on that crucifixion. One here. Great story about the one here, by the way. But common criminals were crucified. Jesus was crucified and lived a perfect life, and he was crucified for one reason. You know what that one reason was? To pay for your sin debt. Makes you special, amen? The death of Jesus should be heart-wrenching to you. Every time you hear about the death of Jesus, it should bring emotion up in your soul. I remember when Mel Gibson did that Passion of the Christ. And I remember when it came out, it was very controversial. And they interviewed Mel Gibson. I'm not here to trump Mel Gibson, okay? I'm just saying. They interviewed him and they said, listen, you know, you probably could have reached quite a few more people if you would have just backed off of the violence in this show. And you know what he said? He said, listen, as best I can tell through the Bible and my religious upbringing, everything that I showed in that show happened to Jesus. And I wanted people to realize what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Do you realize today the scourgings, the beatings, the fact that his father turned on them? All this happened because Jesus loves you. Are you grateful for his love? Amen. Are you grateful for the crucifixion? That's where you learn about it. Study God's word. You got to know it. I remember when I was in high school and we had our playbooks for sports. You know, if you play a lot of sports and you play a lot of seasons, a lot of things kind of come natural to you. You know, I didn't have to be taught in basketball how to set a screen and how to be doing. All this stuff came natural to me for all the years of playing. But every coach was different on how they did certain things. And if you didn't know the playbook, you were going to look stupid when you went out there. By the way, I can pick them out in a college game, a guy that doesn't know the playbook. You can see an offensive guard, can't you, Tom, that doesn't know how to pull, that doesn't understand. You can see every bit of that on the field. You have to know that playbook. You have to take it home. You have to memorize it. You have to not only memorize, you have to be familiar with it. You have to understand your quarterback or your point guards, different ways of doing things. There's a lot involved in it. Your playbook as a Christian is the B-I-B-L-E, amen? You got to know it. From cover to cover, there's something in there for you. The third thing I want you to see, to know, reason we need to read the Bible is to know God's truth so our lives honor and please Him. We are put on this earth to glorify God. We are put here to honor and please Him. Those of you that work out in the world, like I do, you understand when you work for a company or you work for a boss, there may be rules that they have that you don't particularly like. Or there may be rules that they have where you may do things differently than them. But guess what? Unless you're just super, super good, if you don't do what they ask you to do, you know what's going to happen one day? Instead of getting a white slip, you're going to get a pink slip. And you know what he's going to say to you? Well, here's the deal. You didn't do, and then he's going to turn to that playbook, or he's going to turn to that rule book, and he's going to say, you signed and you agreed to do this, 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 and this, and you didn't do it. Thus, you're terminated. You're not going to please him without following his rules. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, you need to learn what God expects of you so you can honor him. Obedience and honor work hand in hand, but are two different things. Did you know it? See, let me tell you something about Peyton. She's the last one left in the house. Here's the deal in Jeff's house, okay? I don't like to be a jerk. I like everybody to be happy with me. I am not a troublemaking guy. But herein is the deal, and there are rules that are going to be followed in my house. And you know what, Peyton? You don't have a choice if you follow those rules. Give you my dad's old saying, did you pay half the rent, Jeff? Well, no, Dad, then you don't make half the rules, and that's how it works in mine, okay? You're going to obey these rules. Now, here's what Peyton can do. If she's smart at all, she's going to obey them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to honor me by obeying them. There's another step. She's obeying because she wants to eat, she wants a roof over her head. Careful, we do this with the Lord. You know what? We don't want the judgment of God, so we're going to do this. Well, I don't agree with it, but I don't want God dumping on my kid, or I don't want something happening to me. That's not honoring. That's obeying. You need to obey. Obeying my rules because you respect me and because you love me and because you trust that as your dad, God put me in your life to help shepherd you till you get to an age where you either get married or do your own. That's honoring me. Honoring my position. I am her dad. She may do things differently when she's older. By the way, parents, they are allowed to when they get out from under your wing. They then answer to God. By the way, if that excites you, wow. Because you go from dad to God. If I were you, I'd rather answer to dad. But I know a lot of parents that get in the way of kids that need to back off. There gets to a certain time where they have to answer to God. They need to be the head of their families, and you need to just sit back and give advice when you can give it and help when you can help. Sit there and be quiet and let them grow up. Boy, some people don't want to hear that, I know. My mother, anytime my hair gets long, she'll say, Kim seen your hair? Well, Mom, yes, she's seen my hair. And then if I go another week or two, she'll come in and my dad will walk in and say, I didn't realize I had another daughter with that long hair you got going on over there. In reality, it's not his job anymore. Please don't tell him that. But it's not his job to tell me, cut my hair. Kim can handle that. Larry can take care of my hair. You don't need to worry about it. Let me use this as an example, though. Let me tell you why I don't have longer hair. All right? I need longer hair right now because I'm trying to cover stuff all over the place, all right? To cover everything now would result in a bozo wig or hair down to my behind, I think. But here's the deal. You know why it's not long, long? I'm going to be honest with you. My mother and my dad cannot stand it. So I honor my mother and my dad, and I cut it. You say, well, you don't have to do that. No, I don't have to do that. And my dad and mom aren't going to dislike me if I don't. My dad will just make his remark when I come in. He'll call me Jeff Arena or something like that if it's long. But I honor him, so guess what? I'll cut it. No worries. I need to go see Larry. Let's get it done. That's honor. Do you honor God? You say, I obey him. You need to obey him. But do you honor him? You should honor him for everything he's done for you. Amen? How about our United States military? Do you honor him? Say amen.
Amen.
You should. You should. Do you always agree with him on everything? I don't. I don't always agree with everything. We have different presidents, different leaders who go into different conflicts that I may not agree with, but I'm here to tell you, with God listening to me and knowing my heart, I'm going to honor every man and every woman that serves and does what they're told to do by their leader. I'm going to honor them, and they're not going to be disrespected here. They deserve honor. Whether we agree with the conflict or not, they deserve honor and respect for what they do. Amen? Well, if they do, how about honoring God? Has God asked you to honor him? Oh, he has, and he's given you opportunities. Anybody read the Ten Commandments? Go in the Old Testament times, huh? And read the Ten Commandments. One of them says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Matt, it doesn't say obey your mom and dad. It does in other verses. But the Ten Commandments just says to honor. Know God's word so you know how to honor him. The fourth reason that a Christian is supposed to read the word of God is to gain a God mindset. I like this. A God mindset. And a God mindset is one that guides our thoughts and our actions. Mindset has a lot to do with what kind of person you're going to be. Did you know it? Our mindsets are being challenged daily. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. I love it with this generation that's coming up because you know what you're going to get the opportunity to do? You're going to get the opportunity to have to stand up for what you believe in. I have to do that now. There was a time in Christian walk where you just assumed everybody thought like you did. Not anymore. You got to stand up for what you believe in. You got to have a God mindset. Boy, your mind has to be focused on the things that it's supposed to be focused on. I love to see someone that's totally focused on what they're doing. I love to see players where 80,000 people can be screaming right in their face, Mike, and a place kicker can walk up right there and drill a field goal and win a ball game right in their face. That's a mindset. Bob Gibson died yesterday, great baseball pitcher. I read where Tim McCarver said when you were his catcher, you never told him what to throw. You didn't tell Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson was so in tune and so ready to go, he knew every pitch that he was going to throw before every game that he ever pitched. He had a mindset. He was ready to go. He went on to become a Hall of Fame pitcher. He knew what he wanted to do. He had a mindset. Do you have a God mindset in everything that you do? What's a God mindset? It's very simply put, Jerry Falwell put it on our lapels 40 years ago. What's it called? Jesus first. Everything that you do, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus do it? With what spirit would Jesus have? Do you have that mindset today? We're in a time when everybody's out about me, 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 me. And I'm telling you, it's unbelievable to me how people are now. People will run over you to get a parking spot from the ages of 16 to 90. They'll run right over you. We have people that think their opinion's right, and if you're different from them, every one of you are wrong. What about a God mindset where right is right and wrong is wrong? Amen? You teenagers in your high schools, you're being taught differently than what the Word of God says about social issues today. God has not changed. What is wrong back then is wrong now. Doesn't matter what your professor, teachers, I love them. I love education. It's a great tool, the sports, you know. I love it. But you better be on guard. You better have your God mindset when you're taught by them things that are not true. When the Bible talks about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar, God what is God, all Baptist preachers love to use that for the tithe. Okay, it fits. But let me tell you something else. It's something of Caesar's, which refers to government, something in your life, and something in your Christian life, if they clash, you are to do what God commands you to do. Amen. And a God mindset never questions it. They never do. Do you have a God mindset? You can't have without reading the Word of God. You got to know what God expects. Know what He expects. Lastly, you need to read the Word of God so you can live courageously in a dark, secular world. Christians, be different. I didn't say be weird or be a freak. Be different. The old hymn, let others see Jesus in you. You are Jesus Avenue. You are Jesus Tool. Do others see Jesus in you? You know, we went through a time where your outward appearance was how you knew if someone was a Christian. And I'm not minimizing that. It's another sermon itself. But I remember when I was 16 years old, I worked at McDonald's. And I worked a summer, and I cooked breakfast, and I worked with my manager. And I would go in at 5 o'clock, and my dad would come in and get coffee at 5:30 and drive through. One of my managers kept seeing him every morning. And she said, can I ask you a question? I said, your dad a preacher? I said, well, yes, he is. I said, why do you say that? She said, well, look how he looks. 5:30 in the morning, he's always got a suit and tie. And that was the whole idea was, well, he must have been a preacher because he wore a suit and a tie at 5:30 in the morning. Every time I ever saw him, he had a suit and a tie on a coffee thermos. And we had that idea that that must have been a good Christian. Now, I'm not going to sit here and spend time talking about on your outward appearance because it is important. But that should not be the sign of if you're a Christian or not. Okay? It's your behavior. Do you look for opportunities to help people in need? Do you look for them? And if you can't find them, do you go to your preacher or people that you know are involved in and say, listen, do you know of anybody's or something I can do? Are you kind to people when they're hurt? I was schooled in independent Baptist schooling. Do you know that? And I'll tell you, and they know it. I got friends that are independent Baptists, and I love them. And they know why I'm not an independent Baptist preacher today. It had nothing to do with the cooperative program, and it ain't got nothing to do with how they give to missionaries. I actually like the way they do it better. But I sat there time and time and time again, and I listened to these guys that were preparing to go out of me, and they were the meanest people I'd ever met in my entire life. The louder they yelled, the more people liked them. The more they pointed their finger at people, the more people liked them. And I thought to myself, that just is not what Jesus wants us to be. We are to be an example in love to people. We can be strong. We can be aggressive. But people need to know that we're genuine, good people that love the Lord and love you. Amen? You're not the devil. We're supposed to be that way with the devil, not the parishioner. We're put here and amongst our churches and amongst our people to be ye kind one to another. Folks, if more Christians would read God's word and just be nice, you'd make a difference. God gives you opportunities to be nice all the time. Listen, you should have a relationship with every person that you meet. You should know your favorite waitress. You should know your favorite lady at the grocery store. You should know your favorite mechanic. Listen, it's a joy for me to go and get a haircut. It's a joke now because Larry can do me in like 2 minutes. There's not a whole lot of hair up there. He said it to me that day. He said, Jeff, I don't really know what all you want me to do anymore. I said, Larry, be quiet. Just snap the scissors where I think you're cutting a bunch of stuff up there. But I don't go to get a haircut. As little as I got now, I could probably find a way to trim my own hair. You know why I go to see Larry at the barbershop? I don't ever leave Larry's barbershop that I'm not uplifted. You can be having a bad day, and you can go to, it's like Floyd's barbershop on Andy Griffith. You go in there and see, and it's the craziest thing. I'll tell Kim I'm going to get a haircut. She said, I'll see you in 3 hours, because that's what ends up happening. I said, well, I got talking to Larry, and Frank was in there, and another guy came in, and we started talking about fishing, and we talk about the church, and we talk about God, and we talk about politics, and we talk about football. Larry will cut my hair till he's blind, and you want to know why? Because he's a nice guy. I don't know how to grade a good barber. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a joke now, so there's no reason for me to tell you who's great at what. But all I know is I ain't going anywhere. My own kid getting her hairdresser, and I said, hey, you know I'm going to keep letting Larry cut my hair. She said, yeah, I understand, Dad. I said, maybe I'll just go sit in there with Larry for 3 hours and let you trim it. I'll shave you the beard and mustache or something where we can be fair. But here's the deal. He's a nice guy. Read the Word of God and see what God created you to be and what it takes for you to be the person God created you to be. We're missing something in our services all since COVID. It bothers me to no end. When I go home, whenever it might be, like today I have me, whatever time, I'll get in my car and I'll review what's going on in here. And here's the deal. Since COVID, I've left every Sunday unhappy about one thing. And I'm going to remain unhappy about it until we start it back. And I'm praying. I'm just being wise. I miss our handshaking and fellowship time during church. I miss it. Not only do I miss it, it is a necessary part of our worship experience. I could start calling names. I will not. You know who you are. You're here today, and you need a hug about as much as you need my sermon. You know who you are. You need that. By the way, you know if you sneak back, I'll give you one. But that's part of the worship experience that you need. You need some love. You need a handshake. You need to hug a buddy. You need someone to come whisper in your ear and tell you, it's part of worship. And we don't have it right now because of COVID, but I want to tell you, I miss it. And I promise you under oath, as fast as I get a piece from God to do it, it's coming back. I want to be at that back door hugging and doing my whole nine yards. I don't get to stay in touch with people, but not doing it. It's just, I guess, a necessary evil right now. But it's a big part of worship. It's a big, big part of worship. This Tuesday at 12 o'clock, no, I'm sorry, Wednesday at 12 o'clock, I'll go to a home for handicapped adult people that live there. It's a large, large complex that I handle for my company. I go every other Wednesday. And I go in that kitchen, and there's a lady in that kitchen that it's my highlight of my work week to see. I know she retired once, so she's got to be probably about 70. She retired, she's got bad knees, and she's got plenty of money, Mike, and here's what she did. She just loves those people so much, she just came back to work. And every week I see her, she's getting worse. I mean, it's terrible. But because of COVID, I can't go in the building. I have to go to the back of the facility, and then someone comes out and meets me and does business with me outside, and I can't go in. And I told the lady the other day, I said, listen, I said, I really miss being in there. And I said, I'm willing, if you'll let me in, I'll put on my mask. I said, I want to go in. And she said, well, I can't do that, but I'll send your buddy out to you. So 2 weeks ago out, she came. And I was thinking, you know what she'll say to me? She'll say, hey, sugar. I'll go, hey, it's good looking, how you doing? She'll say, we're looking better with these masks on than we ever did. I said, yes, ma'am, we are. It looks good. And she'll come out there, this is the only woman that kisses me on the lips besides my wife. I don't know how else to tell her not to. But she comes out there. I got a mask on this time, though, Kim. But she'll come out, she'll give me a big old kiss, and she'll tell me about her grandchildren, and she tells me about her children. And this is what she always closes her conversation with. She knows, Jeff, God is good. I'm like, yes, he is. Her kindness, she don't need to read the Bible to me. It's a kindness that I don't see all day long from everybody else who either wants something from me or is pushing their opinion on me or trying to see what they can get. All she does, she don't want nothing. She ain't got nothing to do with it. She just comes out and gives a hug. Can you be that kind of person? We're in a dark world, people. We need to stand out as a light, make a difference. We got an opportunity now to take things from the Word of God and apply it and make such a huge difference in mankind. You got an opportunity to be faithful in your church. Look in here today. Our church is doing great. And I purposely stayed away from saying that people ought to be doing this and ought to be doing this. And it's kind of humorous to me to run into people around town and then wonder why they can't go to church, but that's okay. But some people think they shouldn't. Here's what I know is this. All right? Whether you're in this church, whether you're a member and outside this church, whether you're watching me on Matt's camera, you are on this earth for a reason. That's to glorify God and to make a difference. If you want to learn how to do it, study God's word and see what he expects out of you. Can you do that? Say amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we stand for our hymn of invitation. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord hears our answer when we're asked, do we love the Bible? And we say yes. I wonder sometimes if he looks down and says, no. Now, that's between you and God. Your answer is between you and God. But here's what I do know. I do know that we need to get back to getting in the Word of God. You need the Word of God every day. It's a two-edged sword. You need it. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. You need a playbook. How many of you will rededicate your life to reading the Word of God? Raise your hand. How many of you will dedicate your life to reading God's Word every day? See, that's huge. Because I want to tell you how Satan works. Boy, he is a rat. Let me tell you what he does. The days you don't read it, that's the days you need it. He pounces on an open window. Maybe there's someone here who's looking for a church home. Maybe there's someone here looking to accept Jesus as your Savior. I say it every week, but I mean it. You can forget what I just preached. It's not important. What is important is that you stop now and accept Jesus as your Savior. You can learn about the Bible and everything afterwards. Maybe there's someone here that needs to rededicate their life to the Lord. Last week, a gentleman came forward and said, Brother Jeff, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I love the Lord, but I want to rededicate my life to living for Him. I said, hallelujah. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let the Lord have His sweet way.